Hi, I'm Kirby. You might know me as the small pink blobbish figure with feet and arms, yet they don't really do much. They're kind of lousy. To be honest, I kind of got shortchanged in that department. If I could do it over, it would be functional arms. I mean, put me up next to a T-Rex and we're basically the same. Useless. Anyway, I eat other people and then I gain their power. That's kind of my thing. If I could do one thing this year, as it winds down and we begin a new year, it would be to remind you that if you'd like to eat the Boop Show all next year, why not contribute just a little bit of money each month to help it go? It's a terrible comparison, I realize, but whatever, the point is made. Go to patreon.com/frogpants and give what you can. Even just a tiny bit a month makes a huge difference. So take it from me, Kirby, as I spin you an epic yarn. All right, just go check it out, will you? Patreon.com/frogpants. Do it today. This is the Boop Show, some gaming news and year-end roundup you can use for December 30th, 2014. I'm Scott Johnson. Let's go! Welcome back to the show, everybody. It has been about 8 days since we spoke last, maybe close to 10. I was in Las Vegas, Nevada. We went to Las Vegas for Christmas, and that was an interesting experience. It's a strange thing to do for Christmas, you have to admit. But we had a good time. As me, the wife, the two kids. The third kid is, you know, married now. What the heck? We went down there and got a sweet rate on some nice hotel nights and spent a lot of time on the strip and realized that Christmas and New Year's is a terrible time to be there because people are packed in worse than sardines. It is a nightmare. Utterly ridiculous. I don't actually recommend it, although we had a whole lot of fun. But if you hate crowds, woo, this was not the week for you. That I know. This I know. I do know this also. Vegas is kind of funny this way. There's all of these. You walk through any casino, really, which it's kind of almost like a self-contained city, right? There's enough food and shelter and services and law enforcement and governance of a sort that it basically functions as its own ecosystem, its own city, right? And as you walk through the main floors of the casino, you realize, man, there sure are a lot of machines here that take quarters. And I think, well, I sure like to put quarters in certain kinds of machines, just not these. I'm just not a very good gambler. I don't like it. I feel like I'm just chucking money to the wind for not a very good payoff. So all the, you know, it's one thing to be bad at a video game that you keep pumping quarters into. But at least you had some fun. You know? There's no fun with a slot machine. It's like, and you get like, woo, two, almost three in a row. Boy, that was fun. Let's try it again. Let's waste another quarter. Oh, almost three again. Ooh, I got three this time. I got three quarters back for the $8 I've spent. Sweet. Let's keep going. Oh, two more matching cherry bomb things. Sweet. And the fact that it's all digital now. It's all like, you know, LEDs and LCDs and stuff. It's no longer, well, there's a few, but it's rarely the big, you know, manual analog pull the bar deal anymore, right? I guess I shouldn't trust those either, but I really don't trust the new ones because, come on, man, it's all chips and computers in there. There's no way that stuff's not cheating me every time I stand or get near one. I'm super conspiratorial about those things. But anyway, it's not for me. So you might ask why we go to Vegas. We go there for other reasons. We like the spectacle and the lights and just the fun and the night and the food and the thing and the stuff, right? But I'm not really into the gambling part of it, the part that everyone else goes there for. And so I just kept thinking, man, wouldn't it be cool if one of these casinos would just up and make an entire casino floor, just one of their spaces, just like, you know, half acre of this 20 acre space they have dedicated to slot machines and stuff, video poker and whatever, and put in their place just a big old arcade full of classic arcade games. Oh my gosh. I'd go in there and gladly spend a ton of money. I would. I wonder why they do it. Nobody's ever done. I know there's arcades, right? You can go to the cat. What's the castle one? I forgot already. The one next to the Luxor. Next to the Luxor. What's it called? The castle one. You know, it's like a castle. It's like King Arthur deal. Anyway, can't think of it. I was just there. But they have an arcade, and it blows. It sucks. It's mostly ticket machines and claw machines. Or some weird combination of both. Or those quarter machines where they shove all the quarters up to the front and they're all kind of hanging on the edge. And you're just sure if you could just bump that machine hard with your hip, it would just drop $30 into the tray and you could get it. But they weigh more than like four elephants tied together. So and you put a quarter in thinking, well, now this my quarter will be the one that just shoves all this money off the edge. No. It's all bullcrap. It's basically gambling again. They did have that big battle Pac-Man game where you could do four of you against each other. That was really fun. Anyway, another video game sort of related news. We did go to the Pinball Hall of Fame, which we do every time we go to Vegas, and it's always fun. And you go in there and you spend your quarters and you come out happy because you spent quarters on video games and pinball machines and not wasting it on stupid slot machines. You actually got some entertainment out of it. However, I noticed this year that they jacked up most of the pinball machines in there. Not all, but most. Anything that was made like 1970s and forward got jacked up to 50 cents per play. They were a quarter last time I went there. So even that little segment of Vegas deciding it wants to hose me, wants to take more of my cash, my hard-earned money. To make matters worse, I noticed while I'm gone, some of the best Steam sales happened. And PSN sales, although we'll talk about that in a minute. But that South Park game went up for $13 for like a day. And I was in the middle of doing all kinds of stuff and didn't know. I could have even purchased it on the mobile app, but just didn't have the wherewithal to know about the sale and wasn't being notified. And I didn't check my email. And there it went. I've been wanting to get that game forever, but I didn't want to pay full price. So I missed the South Park Stick of Truth sale by that much. Dang it. Still kind of ticked about it, to be honest. All right, we got a couple of news items, and then today is our great big let's round up the best games I played this year. Now, there's a couple of caveats to how I just said that, and we'll get to that in a minute. But yeah, it's the end of the year. It's the 30th. Tomorrow's New Year's Eve. And that's it. That's the end of the year. We are no more having a year after that. Now we have a new year to deal with. 2015. I remember as a kid going, 2000. We'll never get to 2000. Why, that's the far-flung future where mankind has learned how to give each other superpowers and float around on hoverboards. Clearly, we'll never get to that time. That is too far in the future. But it's here. Anyway, the PlayStation Store has extended their sale following their horrific week of downtime. They went down basically Christmas Day. I was gone, so I didn't have to experience all this. I feel bad for anyone who did, especially if you got a new console for Christmas, like my in-laws did. I wonder how it went for them. I haven't talked to them yet. They had all kinds of outages. They say that they were coordinated DDoS attacks, that they were targeted. Microsoft had some downtime as well, but I think that was more just holiday rush and they were back up sooner. So I don't know if they're just better equipped for it. Probably are. It's my guess. They've got a long history of network administration behind them and Sony, not so much. At least that's the impression. I mean, it's hard to say because Sony doesn't say much. This is one of my problems. Sony doesn't really talk about it. In fact, I don't know if you guys noticed, they have the most ridiculous customer support Twitter feed ever, of all time. There's ways to do this, right? If you're having an outage, regardless of the source, there are ways to communicate that information to your player base without coming off sounding like a freaking robot or an unfeeling turd, which is kind of what they did. And they repeated themselves a lot. Every half hour, they would cut and paste the exact same message. I think somebody thinks they're doing it right, but they're doing it wrong. They need to talk to somebody who understands the format, understands the mechanism that Twitter gives you, and when it comes to customer service stuff like this, and retrain that job, because they're not doing it right. And I am a, this is not me throwing down some weird gauntlet in a console war. I don't care about that. You can go have that fight somewhere else. This is me, who is very happy with his PlayStation products, has always been. Love my Vita, love my PS4, love my PS3. The PS3 is my favorite console last gen. And so far this year as well, or this generation. And, but this is just radically unacceptable. Not now. If they couldn't help the attack, fine. I get that. I don't have a problem with that. But they are terrible communicators. Terrible. In some ways, they've gotten so much better in the last year. In other ways. But when it comes to like something bad happening, they are bad at getting on the stick, getting the information out there, making it seem like they actually want to engage with us, the gaming public, instead of just going, eh, we're still down, ah, and then run away. It's just really weird. Anyway, they have, the point is this. They are doing good by at least this one thing. They're putting their flash sales back up. These things that ended, they're now back up, and they run through midnight tomorrow. So... is that Pacific time? Yeah, so that'll be well into the next day, 3 a.m. on the eastern coast, east coast of these United States. This is they had decent deals, some stuff for, let's see, deals on Destiny, Call of Duty, Advanced Warfare, Dragon Age Inquisition, Middle Earth, Shadow of Mordor, and a few other things like Diablo 3 Ultimate Edition, Ultimate Evil Edition rather, for PS4, Alien Isolation. Dragon Opera Propona, however the hell you say that, too. There's a sale on that as well. They are claiming, as of the 27th, that everything's back online, although some people are still having some issues. Intermittent connectivity is how they put it. Yeah. Some people are saying that they should, whatever. I don't want to... I'm supremely irritated with the way Sony handles this kind of thing. Not... so much that it's down. Again, it's all messaging and PR. And I know in the end, maybe that doesn't matter. Once we're up, and who cares? But they need to look around. There are some really good examples of quality social media-based customer service efforts happening all over the gaming industry. Blizzard's really good at it. Bungie's really good at it. In fact, most of them are really good at it. Microsoft is pretty good at it. Sony is abysmal at it. I don't know what's happening. I think they gave it to like one of those Honda robots and said, here, do this. I will take care of customer support. Allow me to take care of it. It is not a problem. Destiny is approaching 13 million players. That's a big deal, dude. That's more than WoW. Of course, it's not a subscription game, so that's a different animal. But nonetheless, pretty successful. So according to the gamer, Xbox Live gamer tags and PSN IDs, those numbers have jumped, especially in the holidays. Of those 13 million or so, what they're claiming, 22,932, no, that can't be right. That's got to be 22,000. Their numbers are janky here. Oh, I see what it is. No, this isn't janky. 22,932,276 are Guardian characters, so people have obviously multiple characters. They have spent 872,404,449 hours in the game. That just seemed like a lot. 3.1 billion curses tossed at Master Rahul in the Crypt Arch. I haven't been playing Destiny, okay? Because I haven't paid attention to that. I'm not interested right now. We'll get to that later. But that's how it goes. All right, enough of the news. There really isn't much else happening. I mean, people got games for Christmas. There's no big new releases. Although, part of that sale was that new Lara Croft cooperative puzzler deal that is the sequel to the other one. I do not remember the name, the subtitles of those games. But anyway, apparently that thing's down to like 12 or 13 on Plus. I'm going to go get that and play with my daughter, I think. In fact, let me ask her. Hey, Carter, Do you want to play that new Lara Croft game with me? All right. Deal done. Done deal. She'll play with me. She's down here working. All right. Let's get into this, shall we? We're now going to do something I like to call How Prepared Is Scott? Turns out, not very. The best games I played this year. That's terrible. Whose idea was that? Oh, guys, I'm so sorry. But, hey, enjoy this nonetheless. It's our 10 best games that I, Scott Johnson, played this year, 2014. All right? And I got some runners-up, and I have some other subcategories after that. But this is an important thing to note. These are not all the games I played, okay? These are the games I played. These are not all games released. Obviously, I can't play all those, okay? Plus, you know, I'm going to pick and choose. It's not going to be like, oh, yeah, Scott's played every single freaking game because he loves all genres, because I don't, okay? There's certain games I'm just not going to play. Don't really care for Dota 2 or League of Legends or, you know, whatever. Whatever it may be. So these are the top 10 games that I played in 2014. Let's have a little music. All right, we'll just let that kind of run in the background as we run them down. Let's begin, shall we, with, let's see, hold on, I'm in the wrong place here. Here we go. Let's begin with this number. Number 10. Number 10 is a tie of sorts. I have given it to Advanced Warfare, Call of Duty Advanced Warfare, and Wolfenstein, or Stein, The New Order. Do you say Steen or do you say Stein? These were two very fantastic shooters. And the big surprise for me was just how much I ended up loving Advanced Warfare. I thought I was sick of it. I thought I didn't want to do any more Call of Duty. Turns out they can do things to interest me. That campaign's really fun. Now, on all fairness, I'm not entirely done. It doesn't matter. That's still the 10th funnest thing I've played this year. And I would put that right toe-to-toe there with Wolfenstein The New Order. I didn't think I'd like another Wolfenstein game, but turns out I do. That game's really good. They knocked that one out of the park. Pretty awesome stuff. So go play either of those games. You got a shooter twitch? Well, then by gum, there you go. Number nine? Mm-hmm. Oh, it's more of a question, is it? All right, number 9 I would give to Hearthstone. Why so low on my list? Well, keep in mind, it is still, if it's in the top 10, that's a strong contender. I'm just terrible at it, and I don't have very much fun getting my butt handed to me constantly. So, I'll get to this a little bit later, but one of my goals is to be a better Hearthstone player in the coming year, because I suck! I love what's there, I just am not great at it, and I've never been good at TCGs, or CCGs, or any of the CGs. But yeah, it's still a hell of a game, and a huge success for them, so grats to Blizzard on being a lot of people's favorite game of the year. For me, it's number 9. Number 8. All right, number 8. Let's give it to number 8. Crypt of the Necrodancer. Have you played the Crypt of the Necrodancer? You know what I should do? Some of these deserve a little audio. Crypt of the Necrodancer. Here you go. Let's just play a little piece of it. Just a little music here. How about this? Oh, yeah. This is the tutorial. Everybody walk with me to the crypt. We're gonna dance and we're gonna... I can't think of another word to rhyme with crypt. The music in that game is amazing. Crypt of the Necrodancer, dude. What a great little game that is. It's an indie game. It's still in early access, not quite finished. And by the way, I don't care. If I played it this year and it's early access and not even in beta yet, I'm still counting as it a game I played in 2014. Okay? It's just how it's going to be. You're in a dungeon. It's 8-bit inspired. You move your dude to the beat. You kill stuff to the beat. You try to stay on beat so you keep your multiplier going. It's basically a roguelike with a beat. It's amazing. Play Crypt of the Necrodancer. It's on Steam. And totally worth your time and your money. Number 7. Oh, number 7. Is that what this is? Valiant Hearts, The Great War. It's the 2D thing based a bit on the what's that engine they used for Child of Light for that Ubisoft game? In a year riddled with terrible experiences provided by Ubisoft and broken games left and right, with the exception of probably Far Cry 4, that game was a breath of fresh air. It's a side-scrolling sort of adventure game, light on the mechanics but heavy on the story, amazing art style. What an incredible freaking game that was for me. Held my attention the entire time, really made me think about things. I love projects like this. So more of that next year, please.
El numero six.
Spanish. Six, I'm giving it to Broforce. I talked a lot about Broforce on this show. And I am a giant fan, a big, giant, throbbing fan of Broforce. It is big, stupid fun. There's really not too much to think about to it. But I can't get enough of it. Now that people are making tons of really great user-created levels and stuff, that just has infinite playability for me. I love the over-the-top style. I love how ridiculous it is. I love all the references to things that I loved as a kid. It's just awesome. Oh my gosh, Broforce. And again, still in early access, not technically released. But it feels pretty done to me. And again, totally worth your style. Ooh, look where we're at. Worth your style. Worth your time. Worth your while is what I meant to say. Or your style. Hey, it's number five almost. We're almost halfway there.
Number five, is alive.
Oh, geez. Okay. Okay. All right. I apologize for that one. That was uncalled for. That was unforgivable, really. Towerfall Ascension. Oh, man. Technically out on Ouya the year before. Out this year on PS4 and PC in the form of Ascension. That's the sort of extendable name on there, the colon Ascension. Although you do not want a colon Ascension, that's a real rough procedure. Anyway, Towerfall is the most multiplayer fun we had this year, period. I went and bought extra controllers just to play with the whole family, to have four of us going at each other. And I'm here to say, and I know this is a controversial statement, because there are plenty of good examples, Smash Brothers, whatever, out there for amazing, you know, competitive multiplayer on a couch. But that was easily the most fun I had on a couch in with multiplayer, period, this entire year. What a riot. What a wacky, badass, awesome experience Towerfall Ascension is. If you don't own that on a PS4, and you don't have extra controllers, then what are you doing?
Why?
It's number four. All right, number four, we have Dragon Age Inquisition. This is the biggest surprise for me this year. I thought I was never going to play a Dragon Age game again. Friends told me I should play it. Why? Because it was good again. Good again meaning it was good like the first one. Second one I thought was terrible. I liked the first one okay. I felt like it had some problems, but sure, good game. Two, oh my gosh, I did not like two. Two was rushed and slapped together and kind of terrible. I did not like two at all. No good, number two. Three turns out to be the charm. Big open world, huge kind of hub system for questing, scratched all my MMO itches. It's ginormous. I'm nowhere near completing it, but I want to, and it's great. I really like it. Not since Skyrim has a single-player-focused RPG grab me this hard, I think. You know, of that style, of that kind of big, I don't know, third and first person sort of open worldy style of RPG, westernized RPG. Nothing since 2011 really has grabbed me like this one. I think it's great. It's got some problems. It's not perfect. But man, Inquisition. Hell of a rebound from 3. Speaking of 3, or no, hell of a rebound for 3. That'd be a rebound for 2. But speaking of three, how about number three? All right, number three, Shadow of Mordor. That game. I think it out Assassin's Creed. It's hard to say. I think it had maybe one of the coolest mechanics in the maybe even the history of video games. It's right up there. That Nemesis system is unbelievably amazing. Easily a third slot for me. Shadow of Mordor, man. Ooh. Don't get the old console versions, though. It's terrible. Get the new one. You need the PC version of the Xbox One or the PS4 version. That is a great game. Even if you don't like the Lord of the Rings or Tolkien's books or any of that stuff, I think this game is insane. And the Nemesis system, oh man. It's just downright special.
The penultimate number two.
All right, the penultimate number two, Warlords of Draenor, or Draenor, or Draenor. Depends on who you are and why you care. WoW is usually on my top 10 list every year of games I've played when there's a new expansion out. But I didn't expect this one to be as good as it is. In fact, when it was announced at BlizzCon 2013, and I was sitting in the audience there, and they set it on stage, and they showed a little in-game cinematic thing they had made, I thought, oh, this is not cool. This seems boring. It seems half-aid. It seems like they're going back to old stuff because they don't have any more ideas. I was actually really concerned. Blizzard has never let me down before, really. And so I thought, I'll, you know, wait and see, obviously. I'm not going to make a judgment until I play the thing. But I was really down on that. I just thought, ooh, I don't know about what we're seeing here. And what they did instead was make the best expansion they've ever, I think, ever made. I mean, it is easily my favorite expansion. A hard thing to do because I loved Wrath of the Lich King. I really liked Burning Crusade. And I liked Pandaria a lot. But man, this one killed it. Killed it! So much to do. Garrisons. Way better heroic designs. Smarter implementation of raids. Just everything's better. Everything's better. New models. Oh, I could go on forever. And you can hear me do that on the instance. You don't have to hear it here. But yeah, number two. World of Warcraft. Warlords of Draenor. 10 years in. Still kicking A with that thing. All right, now. Come in low. Come in quiet. Come in close. It's my pick for number one.
Number one! Boop!
You know, I must be really hard to take seriously. You're just sitting there going, what? What are you doing? Again, this may not surprise some because I've talked about it so incessantly. And I promise I didn't mean for the top two to come from the same company. Or even to have three games in the top 10 from the same company. But I loved, still love, and will continue to love Diablo 3 Reaper of Souls. Now, you could argue that is not a full game, that's an expansion to an existing game, and you'd be right. But I don't care. It brought so much to that game, changed so much fundamentally about that game. This was the year, mind you, where they took the auction house out, the real money auction house out, and said on camera that that was a mistake, that now that they've seen it and seen the way it was kind of ruining the game, that was a bad idea. They've torn it out. They brought in a new team leader. The stuff they did with this expansion gave me back one of my favorite games of all time, my favorite series of all time, and Reaper of Souls probably made it my favorite in the series ever. And says a lot because I thought Diablo 2 was one of the greatest games ever made. If you don't like action RPGs, then you should be nowhere near this game. And I played it on both PC and the Ultimate Evil Edition on PS4, which was an amazing port, an incredible port. Not just a straight over like, oh, we're bored, we'll make a port, here it is, it's kind of half-assed. Not like that at all. Like a strong, serious, polished experience on the console. It just ends up being the game I played the most this year. It's the game I want to play the most all the time. It's the one I keep falling back on. Even if I need a break from it, I come back to it. I'm not tired of the grind, quote-unquote grind in that game. I love how it plays. I love playing with friends. I love playing by myself. I love collecting loot. I love it. I love that game. And I'm really hopeful that we get more content added, either new expansions or something. I don't want them to slow down. I'm really hopeful they don't, because I think that game's worthy of kind of a regular update of content. I'm willing to pay for more Diablo 3 Reaper of Souls. It's an incredible game. And easily takes this top spot for me. So there you go. There's my 10 favorite games I played this year. Runners up. I'm going to give a few runners up here. How about Hawken? I play a lot of Hawken and love Hawken. Hawken's a great multiplayer, a big mech shooter. Simple, easy to control. Brings me back to my Quake and Unreal days. Love it. Big giant mechs. How can you go wrong? Very fun game. I played a lot of Ziggurat, roguelike first-person fantasy-based shooter thing. I don't know why that thing jumped out at me so much, but it just did, and I loved it. Had a great time with that. Shovel Knight was an amazing experience. Great game. One of the first, like, you know, in this modern era of games, especially indie games, it's cool to make little 8-bit looking games, okay? People like to go back to that aesthetic. And sometimes they do a better job than others. This game felt like an actual 8-bit game, something I would have played on my NES. Like, there wasn't any weird tricks to make it seem retro, yet behind the scenes there was more going on that those machines couldn't handle. This seems like as true an 8-bit game as has ever been made. And despite all of that, it's just a straight-up really fun game. Really hard, but fun. Shovel Knight's great. Wolf Among Us is easily the best adventure game I played all year. I loved replaying Rogue Legacy on my Vita once it finally hit that thing. That was this year. That game was from last year, but I'll count it this year because I loved it on Vita, and that's where it happened this year. Desert Golf on my phone. That thing got me through a lot of lines and sitting and waiting for my car to be done or being at a restaurant and being bored or whatever. Desert Golf, man. It's like $2. So worth getting. Oh, my gosh. It's so simple. So freaking simple. So frustrating. So satisfying. It's an endless golfer. It's amazing. I love Desert Golf. Endless and random. I think I like those things. You notice a lot of my games are like that, the games I like the most. Randomized dungeons. Random loot. Random golf course. and Crossy Road is another mobile game I played the hell out of, and I would put in that runner-up category. Beautiful game. Fun game. Endless Leaper. Basically Frogger forever, and it's awesome. What a great game. Now we have a category that is best game I should have played last year. That's a tie between Splinter Cell, Blacklist, and Brothers: A Tale of Two Sons. I think Blacklist is amazing. And if you like Splinter Cell and stealth gameplay at all, I think that is a great game to get. It's on sale right now for like $6 on Steam. Looks great. Beautiful on PC. Just a great game. I don't know how I missed it. It was tail end of 2013, so it's not that old, but yeah. It's really good. I guess it's about a year old now. And totally worth playing. That's a good game. And Brothers: Tale of Two Sons, I talked about it last week. Man, what an experience that game was. My son and I played it through together. It's only like 4 hours long. You can get it on sale a lot of times on PC. It's on the older consoles as well. It's awesome. What an amazing little game. Game that disappointed me the most, Destiny, by far. I keep trying. I do keep trying. But I cannot bring myself to care. I tried. I really did. It's supposed to have all the hooks I love, and none of them are working on me. I love shooters. I love RPGs. I love action. I love loot. I love progression. I don't love Destiny. I don't know why. All right, next up, genre that I wish I could get into. For me, it's survival games, like Rust, DayZ, that kind of stuff. I want to be a part of that movement. I see people play and I go, oh, dude, look at the experience they're having. And then I play and I go, ugh, dude, this is terrible. Those games feel janky. They feel broken. I can't do them. I don't want to go get wood and make a fire anymore. I'm done. So give me a survival game I care about. So far, this War of Mine, very promising in that regard. I'll play that more. And then finally, my final category, stuff I missed I really want to get into in 2015. And that is basically, this category is the Wii U. I think I need to get a Wii U and I need to play those games. They were probably, and again, I didn't play them, so I can't say, but from all accounts, probably some of the best games of the year, period, came out on that platform. A platform I don't yet own. The first Nintendo platform I didn't buy at launch. So maybe now is the time, finally, for me to do that. Get into the slow, early winter months. Perhaps that's the time to do it. And then I mentioned earlier, actually getting decent at Hearthstone. That's a goal I have. How do you think I'll do with it? I have a high hope that I'll do okay, but I'm not holding my breath and neither should you. All right, we got some quick voicemails to go through before we get out of here. I know I've kept you guys long enough for this year-end extravaganza. These come to us at 801-471-0462. That's 801-471-0462. Or you can send your attachments and or emails to boopshow@gmail.com. BOOP show@gmail.com. Let's start with a call here about Battleborn, or at least a theory about Battleborn.
Hey, Scott, this is for the Boop Show. Just calling to find out if you realize on Sunday, Sony released a video showing 26 reasons to be excited for the PS4 in 2015. And in that video, they showed Battleborn by name, saying that it was coming to PS4, even though that hasn't been confirmed yet. Just wondering what you think.
That's not a surprise. Battleborn, the game from the freaking Borderlands people. It's a MOBA. Appears to be heavily third person-y MOBA looking deal. Very stylized. Yes, of course. I guarantee you that's coming to PS4. It's coming to Xbox One and it's coming to PC. I know none of that's been official, but where'd you think it was going to go? I wasn't going to end up on the Game Boy Color. You know? Like, I think that was a foregone conclusion that they would be making that for current-gen consoles as well as PC. I do not think it will show up on last-gen. I think we're almost done with that. But yeah, Battleborn. Here, let me make a prediction. Battleborn will come to PS4 whenever it's released. It will also come to Xbox One whenever it's released. And PC. Ooh, bold prediction from Scott. Bold prediction.
Hi, Scott. This is Brian. I don't have a lot of time to play WoW anymore, so I started playing Smite instead. I was wondering if you had tried it out. It's a free-to-play MOBA like League of Legends, except it's first-person-ish, and it's pretty awesome. Check it out. Let me know your thoughts. Love the Boop Show. Boop.
One correction I'd make is that it's totally third-person. There is no first person in it, but I know what you mean. It's very action, very over the shoulder, and you're kind of right there in the midst of it. So it is as close to first person MOBA as you're going to get without actually playing a first person MOBA, which also exists. I have played Smite, and I'm impressed with it. The same team, I think, or some of the same team who worked on Tribes, the new Tribes game. What's it called? Tribes something. Tribes, whatever. I really like the new Tribes. It's those guys. And it's all free to play. And it has its own little launcher and all that. Not yet on Steam, I don't believe. And I don't even know if it's out of beta. But it is good. I played it. I played some. It's all right. I don't like MOBAs, though. So it kind of lost me there. As MOBAs go, though, I do like the greater emphasis on action and less of a strategy game. You know what I mean? But yeah, it's still got the elements I don't like. Tower defense-y things and stuff. I'm not into that stuff as much. Heroes of the Storm is doing it for me a little bit better, too. That and Smite probably are the ones I'm most excited about. But yeah, overall, I'm just down on MOBAs. But yeah, Smite's cool. Smite's way cool. People should check it out. And if you just have like a passing interest in like Greek mythology, stuff like that, you'd love this because it's full of that. All up in your grill.
Hi, Scott. This is Lau here at Tucson, Arizona. And I just wanted to ask you if you're still playing Marvel Heroes 2015. I heard about that game from your show, and I thank you because I'm having a lot of fun with that game. So, just asking if you're still playing that game. Thanks.
Here and there, but not a ton. My intention has been to get back in with some of this new stuff they put out here recently, but I played that so much for a period there. It was kind of one of my Diablo 3 breaks, and I needed another action RPG to fill the void, and I played maybe too much. I went like 3 weeks solid of just bam, 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 and I couldn't stop. And now I'm kind of like burnt on it. The game's pretty awesome, though. Yeah, Marvel Alliance, still strong. Still a, not Marvel. Is it? It's a Marvel Hero, Marvel, what is it? Marvel, damn it, you said it and I forgot. Anyway, that game's great. People should play it. It's still free to play. It's good. If you're a Marvel fan, you're dumb if you don't play it. And even if you're not one and you just like action RPGs, well then by gum, there's something in there for everyone. The whole family can play. All right, I think I've said "by gum" at least twice in today's show, and that means that's a problem. I gotta not do that ever again. I hereby commit to you, dear listener, to not say "by gum" on the show anymore. I'm done. Freaking "by gum." What the hell's wrong with me? Hey, look at this. Got some info before we leave. Frogpants.com/boop has all our subscription info and where to get the show. So please go ahead and use that website to help you find those things. We are at, boopshow@gmail.com is our email address. Again, the phone number 801-471-0462. Our Twitter account is boopshow. Follow it. There's free games being given away here and there. Plus, just love to see you over there. At boopshow on Twitter. One big thanks for the year of music from the Schnauzer Radio Orchestra. The album Music for a 1950s Video Game is what I use on the show. With his permission, of course, with Rob's permission. He's an amazingly talented dude, and I wouldn't want to do the show without his sweet music in it. Don't forget you can support this and other shows at patreon.com/frogpants. Muchly appreciated. And you can also buy cool stuff on the Frog Pants store at frogpants.com/store. All right, that's it. That's 39 episodes together, folks. We got a whole bunch more to do in 2015. I have some other big plans. I'm taking this thing to the next level. But I've been digging it. It is maybe the most fun new thing I created in 2014. It's an important year for me in that regard. Thank you for being here for the ride. It means a whole hell of a lot to me. Before I go, let's leave you with some music, some holiday music. This was suggested by way too many of you to give you all credit. But probably a good 100 of you said, hey, Scott, because it's the last episode of the year and it's kind of snowy, New Year's-y, Christmassy sounding, will you play Super Snowman or Snow Mountain from the OC Remix album Super Mario 64 Portrait of a Plumber? And I said, I will, by gum. That's the last one, by gum. Yeah, let's play it. It's awesome. It's part of that whole collection, which you can totally get for free and get now at ocremix.com or .org. Is it .com? Oh, geez, Scott, you can't remember anything today. I was in Vegas for a week. Give me a break. ocremix.org. Sorry, not .com. Where you can find all kinds of cool things, except I don't think they have much of this. Oh, I love that album. Or that game. Crypt of the Necromancer. Anyway, so let's play it now. I got a couple more calls and Blair's app review at the end. Thank you guys for helping make 2014 amazing. Let's do the same thing in 2015. You guys are rad. I'll see you next year.
Welcome to Blair's App Review. I'm Blair Canfield, and this week's app, Tiny Towers Vegas. In theme of Scott heading to Vegas for Christmas break, I thought I would break out one of my favorite apps from 2014. I claim to have a slight bias to this app because I'm from Vegas, but all that aside, this game is pretty addicting. The Business Simulator is currently made for both iOS and Android devices, and it's time for you to become one of the great casinos of the world. Your mission is to build a casino that thrives on stealing and cheating everyone out of their money. Just as in other Tiny Towers games, your job is to build up floors into the sky. Each time you build a floor, it will cost you some coin. Money is earned by building floors where bitizens go to spend money. There are three different types of floors in Tiny Towers Vegas. First, you have retail floors, such as Rancho's Mexican Food Restaurant and a cigar shop. Second, you have hotel floors where people come to stay, Roman Suite, the Groovy Suite, or the Bubble Soak Suite. Finally, in Vegas style, you have casino game floors, Dwarven Poker, Fishing Slots, and Temple 21. This game is all about upgrading your floors to make more money, while creating new floors for your tower to grow taller. This is done by keeping floors stocked, keeping residents in the hotel floors, and playing casino mini-games to earn money. If you like micromanage-y type of games, or you're just looking for a casual way to pass the time, Tiny Towers Vegas will do it for you. I would give TTV 9 slot machines out of 10. Feel free to tell me what you think or tell me a game you think I should review by contacting me on Twitter at BlairCan. That's all I have for you today. Until next time, I'm Blair Canfield. Happy gaming. Boop. And Merry Christmas.
Hey, Scott. Oh, that's a really cool deal that Sony's picked up Nintendo to push it forward. Though it's bogus that it came through in such negative matters as this hack thing. But I don't know if you knew, Shigeru Miyamoto has developed a few short animated films of the Pikmin, which I think, and I have a long thought in how to have a direct translation of Nintendo should be this so almost a Pixar effect in sort of a shoebox format. Do you think that Nintendo should start their own film company and possibly produce their stories in this shoebox animated format, then eventually, as Disney seems to be doing and doing very well, maybe buy Nintendo and then let them have free reign, but with the freedom and the power that the Disney coin allows? Keep doing what you do. You're one of the cool guys. Take care. Boop, boop, boop.
Hey, Scott, calling the Boop Show. This is the dog from Raccoon City that bit Jesse, and roof, roof. Boop.
This podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.